Welcome back to The Pipeline. Very special episode for number 17 here, off and running into season 3. And last week was a huge week for every Monad supporter around the world with the announcement of DevNet. I am absolutely honored to have Eunice here with me to talk about DevNet and much more. Eunice is a co-founder of Monad and also the COO, joining us again on the podcast. Thanks for coming on, Eunice.
My absolute pleasure. Really appreciate you having me on. Excited to chat a little bit more about some of the developments that we've been seeing at Monad.
Awesome. And I see you have, I think, a Costco hoodie on, which may or may not be the unofficial official provider of hardware for Monad nodes.
Maybe one day in the future. Costco actually does supply a lot of our company laptops. And I think they do sell hardware that would fit into the specifications of the validator requirements that we're aiming for. So maybe one day, yeah, Monad run by Costco and Celsius.
Of course. And, you know, maybe Red Bull as well. But, you know, without further ado, I know a lot of people tuning in have been really excited about DevNet. The content coming out of the community has been truly awesome to see. And it's a very important and unique milestone in the EVM landscape. So would love to dive into that a little bit. Who can use DevNet? I think that's an important question that's been on a lot of people's minds.
Absolutely. I guess I could start by defining what DevNet is. So DevNet is a fully functioning blockchain environment specifically for the Monad blockchain. It's also an incredible milestone for our team. We've spent almost 2 years crafting and deeply optimizing the various parts of the blockchain stack across both execution as well as consensus. So DevNet basically signifies this unification of all four of the optimizations of the tech stack, marrying the two main modules, like the consensus engine, which is the heart and soul of Monad BFT, the execution engine, which is, you know, where we get parallelized execution, and then their interactions together through like Monad DB into a fully functioning cohesive system. So going back to the question of like, who can use it? DevNet is solely an internal core team environment. So the short answer is that no, you can't get your hands on it yet. But our next milestone is right around the corner, and that's testnet. We'll have phased testnet, and through that, we'll be able to share more and more.
Awesome. And I know one of the headlines with DevNet has been the 10K TPS on the EVM. And traditionally, TPS isn't one of the most respected or relied upon metrics. So would love to hear, how does Monad define and measure TPS?
Well, firstly, I think TPS is super confusing because it's just misleading for a couple of different reasons. But one being that there's no universal way of measuring TPS. There's no like standardized metric the same way that there's like, you know, an inch or a centimeter or a foot. And so therefore it can also be trivial or like easy to maybe boost the metric using a combination of like more simplified environments or simplified transaction data like transfers. So what TPS stands for is transactions per second. Again, a common metric for blockchain performance. Transactions, however, can be very varied in their complexity. Some can be extremely complex, time-consuming, computation-intensive, and others might be super, super quick. Transfers is a great example of that. Transfers are probably the simplest form of a transaction, and it's, you know, essentially exchanging the digital asset balances from like one wallet address to another. But not all transactions are transfers, and if you create a TPS metric off of solely transactions, then you can actually get a really high artificial number. And I'm going to call that artificial number a theoretical TPS. And so you'll hear theoretical TPS thrown around here and there, or like a maximum TPS, referring to like the highest number of transactions that a chain could potentially produce in ideal scenarios, like transfer-only scenarios. But unfortunately, transfer-only scenarios don't reflect real-world data. I mean, today we have blockchains that have a ton of applications deployed on them. Smart contracts deployed on them that require much more complex transactions to take action upon. So real TPS is indirect opposition to the theoretical TPS, because it's not just transfers that we're seeing. The way that Monad is measuring TPS is by using real historic data, which will give us a far more realistic and accurate view into true blockchain performance and what ultimately users can expect of Monad over time. Another thing that we're doing is specifically focused on the more recent set of transactions versus the earlier set of transactions of Ethereum. Sorry, I'm going out of order here, but like the idea is that we are using real Ethereum data to replay transactions on the Monad blockchain. And we can do this in part because we are an EVM chain. We are EVM bytecode compatible, and that means applications that are currently deployed on Ethereum and other EVM environments can also be done so on Monad. The idea behind using the more recent transactions within Ethereum history is to emulate what a current blockchain environment looks like. The very early days of the Ethereum blockchain, we really only saw transfers, like a lot of simple types of transactions, which is obviously in contrast to what we're seeing today. You know, people are using applications to interact with various smart contracts. Yeah. So the long story short is that Monad gives you real TPS. Monad uses real and recent Ethereum data that has been published on chain to an actual chain to give us a more usable, more accurate expectation of Monad TPS.
Yeah, it's super exciting. And it just, even for someone like myself who's non-technical, it just makes sense, right? Like if you're trying to show the true performance optimization that Monad is going to bring to an EVM environment, well, let's take the environment that's getting the most user activity currently, replay that directly on Monad and show, you know, what these optimizations could look like in real practice when Monad is live. And yeah, I think absolutely. That's a perfect lead in to the next area that I would love to touch on, which is, you know, how does DevNet exactly fit in with Monad's broader go-to-market?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so DevNet is just the first of many more exciting milestones that we have for this year. And, you know, as a part of DevNet, we're using that to effectively dog food the blockchain. We're identifying internally the existing system's strengths and also areas where the core team can continue to focus on follow-on optimization work. When it comes down to it, we're a software company. And within software development, improvements happen through iterations of a code development. And so that's what we're doing here with DevNet. So again, just like the first of other milestones, where other milestones will see more and more and continued improvements of the Monad blockchain as a whole.
Awesome. That's fantastic. I want to rewind a little bit in terms of Monad's life cycle, because there's been a lot of awesome energy lately across the community, a lot of new community members hopping in and contributing in their own unique ways. Would love to be able to bring them up to speed as to what the past 16 months or so has looked like for Monad as a software company.
Yeah, that is an excellent question. Something that I think about every so often, I think looking back 12 months is the easiest thing to do, because you're like, okay, where was I this time last year? And so maybe I'll do that, where I think we were maybe like 7 people strong at that point, heavily engineering. And we were just getting to the point where we were focusing more and more on community development, growth of the business development team, bringing on our first ecosystem development hire. So rewinding even further to 16 months, like it was very much like a, you know, like the very beginnings of what you would imagine as a software startup to look like. Lots of whiteboarding, lots of just like ideas being thrown around and thinking through how to best architect a very complex system while also maintaining compatibility with an existing Ethereum virtual machine protocol. And also just a lot of a combination of excitement as well as, like, I hesitate to say anxiety, but it, you know, there's just this, like, the world is your oyster, but at the same time, like, the world is so malformed, like, it can go in one of many different directions. So I think we were able to pick paths and choices that led us to a, you know, the end to where we are now. But but yeah, 16 months ago was a 16 months ago was just like a very different paradigm to where we are now. I think for our team development too, so Monad actually started out as a remote company, which makes sense because in the spirit of crypto being worldwide, people being everywhere and wanting to find talent for talent's sake, you know, wherever talent is, we're willing to go and find and bring a part of the team. But maybe around 14 months ago, so like we were remote as of the beginning of 2022. And then the start of 2023, we hit a critical mass of people in New York. And when I say critical mass, I mean, there were two people in New York at the time. And we were like, well, it might be fun for these two people to, you know, get together every so often, find an office space to work in. So we started out with a 6-person WeWork office. And I think maybe it was used like once or twice or three times a week or so. And that 6-person office slowly became a 25-person office. And, you know, we had more and more of our team to fly into New York to have a hands-on on team on site for weeks at a time. And we realized that there was a lot of benefit in this in-person presence. Not to say that like in person is the end all be all, but there's a lot of externalities that you get from being side by side with someone that you want to bounce ideas off of. And I think that's largely benefited not only our core engineering team, but also our ecosystem and BD teams as well. And so I think that's like another big change over the past 16 months or so, where transitioning out of that 25-person WeWork to now, we have an entire floor in our office space that is in the heart of Nomad. Nomad, for those of you who are unfamiliar with New York, is a neighborhood that stands for north of Madison Square Park. Obviously also shares the same letters as Monad. So some people were like, did you guys do this purposefully? Which I wish I could take credit for, but that would have been a really long play. So no, it was unintentional, but a really great neighborhood nonetheless. And yeah, so that's kind of the development of the team. And through the development of the team, we've also seen a huge development of our community as well. I'm sure many of you know and love Bill, as I know and love Bill. Bill is definitely a core part of building out the culture of our community since day one. And I think through the slow growth of people learning more about Monad and what we're trying to build here, that has since really taken a trajectory of its own. I love seeing the artwork that comes out of the community. And, you know, I myself, like, am unable to spend a lot of time each day to see the ins and outs. So sometimes I check in and there's like 25,000 unread messages. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I've just got to catch up to the latest. But seeing what, you know, what's been happening on a day-to-day is super exciting. Creativity seriously has zero bounds. Loving the nails that several of our, you know, more female inclined community members have done. The music, whether it's, you know, AI generated or not, is like absolute fire. Yeah, it's been really cool to see. And then on the ecosystem development side of things, I mean, we've just been having really productive conversations across the board with project teams who are interested in, if they're going multi-chain in expanding to the Monad ecosystem, or teams that are outright like new to crypto in general who are interested in building Monad native applications too. So growth across the board has been really exciting to see, the difference in conversations that we're having now versus the difference, sorry, versus the questions from 16 months ago. You know, like one question back then, and sometimes now still, is like, why an L1? And now it's less about like, why an L1? And like, you know, what are your plans for testnet? You know, like, I think we've gotten to the point where people understand the vision and the need for a high performing L1. And, you know, we're glad that Monad is able to fit in that category.
Well, I'm certainly glad too. And it has been certainly a rapid fire and very exciting 12 months that's gone by very quickly. It was about this time last year where I first started learning about Monad. And at first it took me, you know, a week or so to actually do some due diligence and have some conversations about what Monad was trying to solve in the space. And it was at a time where markets were quite down. And for me, it was almost challenging to understand, without knowing what Monad was, what the value proposition of a new layer one could be at this point. And very quickly after chatting with At Intern, something really clicked for me. And it was very easy to understand that these optimizations were very necessary to push the space forward. And from there, on the technical side of things, I was really excited and started jumping into the different community chats and outlets there, and was absolutely blown away. I hadn't seen, even 12 months ago, hadn't seen a community coming together like that in a very long time. And in a sense, it was highly addictive to come back to the chats every day, to connect with community members, to work on different ways that we could push the community forward. And from there, I certainly never left, and am excited to still be going strong every day at this point. It's certainly an honor to connect with people from all over the world who are excited about Monad for their own reasons. And with that, would love to take a look at the next year ahead for Monad. What does that look like from your perspective?
Yeah, I think a lot of more of the same, to be honest. Ultimately, we're still focused on the same goal, which is to press forward and launch a really strong mainnet, which we can't do alone. On the Monad side of things, like, we are continuing to build out the team across all areas, a lot in engineering, but also within the ecosystem side of things to support our growing ecosystem community. And then on the other side of that is like you. And when I say you, I mean like you as in not just you, Danny, but also you as in the broader developer community and the broader crypto community. You guys are the ones that will actually make all the effort behind, you know, what the core team is doing in building out the Monad blockchain all worthwhile. Like, Monad blockchain, you can consider that as like a skeleton. Like, if we were to think about the human, like, the Monad blockchain is a skeleton. The ecosystem of applications, of tooling and infra, those are like the muscles and the tendons that, you know, wrap around the skeleton. But the community, the people, that's like the beating heart of Monad. It's like what makes, you know, the blood flow and what makes a living, breathing body come to life. I think another exciting aspect of what the year ahead looks like is that we'll be having more of a physical presence at like various conferences and maybe even hosting our own events here in New York. There's just more ways for us to like get involved within the broader ecosystem community, to really share and talk more about Monad as a blockchain and like what we can offer to developers. There's been conversations around how we might maybe host our own hackathon. I think this might be a little bit further down the line, but still within the roadmap, and just overall being a continued presence within the crypto industry as a whole. Yeah, looking back to this time last year, I think a lot of people were still relatively unfamiliar with Monad and what the mission was behind that. And now it's kind of the opposite effect where sometimes people, like, you know, stop us on the street and they see our hat and they're like, oh, Monad. Happened a few times at East Denver, which was really cool. We'll be sure to, you know, give you a wave, or if you want to have a conversation, you know, please stop us and we'll definitely chat more.
Yeah, I love the skeleton analogy. It is a skeleton. It's infrastructure, but at the end of the day, it's also a very optimized skeleton. And I know a lot of people are really excited for that. And I'm excited, you know, to have the opportunity to chat with you and learn your perspective over the past year at Monad, and looking at the very, very exciting year that we have ahead of us. It's certainly an honor. And I want to stay true to our pipeline format here. For the past several episodes now, Kevin and I have shamelessly ripped a question from Kobe and Ledger's podcast, Up Only, probably the greatest crypto podcast of all time. And the question that we have shamelessly ripped is called Final Alpha. And Final Alpha is basically anything that our guests want to share with our listener community. It can be alpha, but it certainly doesn't have to fall within the parameters of technically alpha. It can be really any tip or advice or suggestion that you'd like to share with our awesome community.
All right. So, maybe not alpha in the traditional sense, but I know that a lot of people are excited about getting their hands on some, like, Mon swag. This is probably my favorite hat amongst what we have in our collection. Some OG examples are directly behind me. But I'd say, so, like, we have a lot of new swag, like new designs, new drip that is to come in the coming months. If you guys are at a conference, like, please find one of us. We usually carry a small handful of swag around with us to swap. But if you can't, and I know that that might be a large number of people, because, like, you know, it's very intensive to have to work around travel schedules, conference schedules, and whatnot. My alpha would be to continue doing what you're doing, follow the pipeline, follow the follow updates, and there's definitely going to be ways to get your hands on some new upcoming merch.
Well, that was okay. Awesome alpha indeed. I know a lot of the community's been really excited about opportunities to get their hands on some awesome Monad swag. It at this point has become like 85% of my wardrobe, and we'll probably get closer to 100 as the next year unfolds. So great alpha there, and of course a massive pleasure and honor to chat with you, Eunice, about all things Monad. Thanks for joining today.
My absolute pleasure. And I think I share the same clothing breakdown. I think a good portion of my wardrobe is now Monad, or I guess Costco. So
Costco, fair. I think at this point, like, looking back or thinking back, I don't know if I've ever seen Keone not wearing a Monad shirt. So that is great commitment to the brand, but also they're great and very comfortable shirts. So can't fault him there.
Yeah, you're totally right. He is definitely a Monad t-shirt maxi.
100%. Well, thanks again for coming on, Eunice. I know our listeners will be excited to dive into this one. Really appreciate you taking the time to join us.
Thanks so much.